And they started praying that God would not only reimburse that 150 that I didn't have, but that he would give me a double portion. That's a lot of faith. So we get there, and we're talking amongst ourselves. The band is getting ready to start. And this woman from the hotel comes up, and she says, "You know what? God laid it on my heart. I want to take care of that difference for you." And I didn't know what to say to her, so I just like stared at her. Because I don't want to seem greedy and go, "Oh, cool, that is so cool, thanks, where's the money?" But I didn't want to, you know, just, I didn't want to take away her blessing either. And I was just like, what do I say? So I just stared at her, and she stared back at me. She's like, "That's a good thing." I'm like, "Yeah, it is." And she hands me this cash, and I just put it in my pocket. I didn't count it until later, and I found it was actually more than what I needed. But we got to be great friends that weekend, and I got to hear about her life and the things that her and her friend had gone through, and it was just a tremendous blessing. And then other people came up to me that wanted to bless me. I'm like, no, God already took care of it. It was miraculous. And they're like, "No, I want you to have this anyway." And they, you know, I'm like, "Okay, well, thank you." And plus, we discovered that our Compass group in Greensboro had taken up a collection to help us with some expenses, and they sent that along to us. And in my awe and amazement, by the end of the conference, I counted up all the money that God had blessed us with through these other people, and it was exactly to a dollar, twice the amount that was overcharged us for the other room. And, yeah. So we were able, praise God, we were able to get books, DVDs, we got some ministry materials for those who are interested in altar ministry and stuff like that. We got some training materials so that you can be on the ministry team for the altar calls and things like that. It's going to be great. Helped with the extra cost of food and the extra cost of gas. You guys have been so patient. If you will indulge me just a little bit more, I would love to share this other blessing. And then we've got food out there. You can pig out on us, man. So just bear with me just a hair longer. That was a material blessing, and it was a supernatural provision of God. God loves to bless his children. If instead of complaining and whining and just giving glory to the enemy, if we will instead praise him and declare how good he is, it just delights him to bless his children. I got saved in 1980 out of a very dark place. The Lord brought me to a crusade where I heard the gospel that Christ had died for my sins. And that if I and rose from the dead, if I would receive him, that he could give me new life and a new heart and cleanse, wash my slate clean. And I did, and it was a glorious event. And shortly after that, I went to my first Bible study. And God filled me with his Holy Spirit. It was an incredible experience. If you've ever experienced a supernatural touch from God, it literally is like from another world. I'm sitting there in this boring Bible study, okay? I mean, it hadn't even gotten started yet, and it just all looked promising to be boring as all get out. And everybody's just kind of sitting there, and it was actually in a Roman Catholic church of all places. But they had a charismatic priest, and he comes in, and he says, "Okay, well, let's get started. I'll open in prayer." And I know you've heard this before, but you need to hear this to put it in context, and some of you haven't heard this. And so he opens up with this boring prayer. But as in the middle of this boring prayer, he says the word Holy Spirit. And the instant he said the word Holy Spirit, I felt this surge of energy start coursing through the very depths of my being. And it was like fire inside of me and power. And it was rushing up through my being, and it was intoxicating. I literally felt intoxicated by the presence of God. It was like a wind from heaven, and it filled me. And I wanted to just laugh out loud. It's with joy that I had never experienced in my entire life. It was like a transcendent joy that only comes from heaven, because I had never experienced such a nearness to God and a sense of joy in that he loved me so deeply. And I wanted to laugh out. I wanted to literally shout. But nobody else was getting this. And I thought, if I do that, they're going to throw me out. So I gritted my teeth as hard as I could. And I was like, this is great. I love this. Thank you. Don't kick me out. And then it wore off. And later, I felt so guilty about that. In years that went by, for 30 years, I regretted that I didn't just let go and let God. and allow Him to fill me with that supernatural joy of heaven. I believe I would have gotten my prayer language, the gift of tongues back then, if I had only allowed God to do what He wanted to do in me. And so this haunted me for years, and I thought, maybe, you know, God, if I was so disobedient, I would have experienced Your power so much stronger in my life. Now, He has blessed me since then, but I just wanted to, and yet, that haunted me. So let me just go back to the conference. So much happened, and I got to leave out volumes, but I was up, the last night of the conference, I was up reading about some materials I had bought. One was about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Randy Clark does a very balanced, great book, and it just stirred in me the desire for that again. But God had been, let me backtrack a minute. Okay, just like, okay. Prior to that night, we had an appointment with these guys, these prophetic teams who were assigned to prophesy over us. And it was so we go in this place and they're all clapping like this, and the air is literally electric with the power of God. It was such a cool place. You go into this room and these people are just there assigned to seek God and express what He puts on their heart for you. So we go in and the air is just electric with charged with the power of God, and they're clapping like this. And I told the team as I got up there, I said, I feel like I'm in Texas Roadhouse, man. This is just wild. Expected them to bust out and dance or something. But anyway, we sat down and they said, okay, well, let's get quiet before the Lord so that we can hear His voice. And as we got quiet before the Lord, I felt this weighty presence of God, almost like the air was thick within. It just pressed down upon me. It was like the weight of God. And it was a holy time. It was amazing. And that lingered on me all day long. So I get to the room at night, and I'm reading about all these experiences that people have, supernatural experiences with the Lord, and my heart starts to hunger for that. I'm like, oh, God, just to be that close to You again, to feel Your presence so powerfully. And I felt like, man, I got to get Randy Clark to pray for me. I just got to, tomorrow morning, I know we're supposed to go home, but we're going to the conference anyway, and I'm going to find this guy, track him down, and get that bad boy to pray for me. So we get there, come to find out, He's speaking anyway. So, but I got to tell you, that presence was so on me. I woke up that morning and I'm loading the luggage into the car. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, some people do weird stuff. Some people tremble. Some people shake. Some people fall out in the Spirit. Some people get overjoyed and laugh. I cry. I get teary. Now, I'm not crazy about that, because that's not a very masculine thing. You know, I think of Samson. When the Holy Spirit would fall on Samson, he would like get real strong and stuff. It'd be like on steroids or something. He'd go like rip the doors off the gate of the city and go kill a couple hundred Philistine soldiers. I cry. Oh, well, I'll take what I can get, you know? So I wake up and the hand of God is on me so heavy, and it's such a heavy presence. And Missy is really hurting bad that morning. I thought, God, are You? And we didn't know what was wrong with her. I'm like, God, are You trying to tell me something terrible? Is Missy gonna die or something? I don't know, man. What are You doing, Lord? And I'm just tearing up. I'm trying to put luggage in the car. I'm just like, well, here goes the suitcase, and here goes the duffel bag. I'm trying to check out, you know, room 312. I'm sorry, just, you know. And it's just heavy on me, man, and my eyes are all wet. And so we get to the conference, and I'm walking in. And Dawson and Gary are down there, and I get to where the seats are, and they're looking at me like, you know, dude, what is up? And so I got to explain to them. So I go in the row, and I walk over, and I no sooner start to explain, I said, the hand of God has just been on me today. I no sooner said that when it just broke, man. I just started sobbing and weeping from the very depths of my soul. I mean, my shoulders are heaving and everything. And so they're praying for me and stuff, and we pray through this thing. And you know, you don't always understand what God is doing inside of you. You just know that He is. And you don't have to understand, because He searches those secret places of our heart. And He knows what He's doing, even if our mind doesn't comprehend it. So we prayed through, and it's such a release. I felt, wow, God, You really met me. So then Randy Clark comes up, and he gives his little spiel. And then he says, by the way, I want to pray for all the pastors in the room. And I'm like, dude, I knew it. I knew it. As soon as I heard that he was speaking, I was like, I knew it. That was God. And he says, I want to pray for the pastors. Like, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. That was God. So I get up there, man. I'm like, I'm getting a fresh one, man. I'm just going for this thing. I'm getting that refilling, man. It's going to be so awesome. And he lines the pastors up, and he's praying for them. And he gets near me. I'm trying to stretch my hand out. Yeah, dude, bless me, man. And he starts moving away. And so I start, like, moving more away, trying to follow him. And he starts going the other way. So I'm going back to follow him. And people are falling out of the Spirit. And I'm stepping over bodies. You know, okay, don't fall on this guy. You know, I'm thinking, if I fall, man, I don't want to land on him. You know. And I'm chasing him around the place. And I can't catch up because there's such a crowd of pastors there. And finally, he gets up and goes back up to the platform. And I got missed. He says, have I missed any pastors? I'm like, yeah, I came. I want this. So I go up, and he's praying for me for this prophetic impartation. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll take that, whatever, you know. But I want a fresh baptism, man. I want a fresh infilling of that Holy Spirit. I'm like, yeah, get through it, whatever, okay. And then he starts to move away, and I'm like, Randy, it's been 30 years, man. I've been reading your books all night. I need a fresh encounter with God. I need a fresh sense of that power. And he was probably like, God, I'm tired, man. Just, he's like, okay, you know, and he prays that for me and moves on. And nothing happens. I'm like, well, that wasn't what I was expecting. I thought this was going to be the stuff, man. So everybody's clearing out and they finish and there's people are going home. And I go up and I just lay up at the steps, man, at the front of the altar. I'm like, God, I'm not moving. I came for a blessing, man. I'm like Jacob, man. I'm not moving until you bless me. You're either going to give me what I need or Missy's going to come up here and pull me off. And if I know that any of those two things happen, I'll know I'm done. Missy's not coming, so I'm just there. And you know, people are falling, tripping over me, and one guy fell on me by accident. But I'm like, I'm not going anywhere, Lord. And after 10 minutes there, I felt that still small voice say to my heart, John, why are you asking me for what you already have? You've got it. Just walk in it. And I didn't realize it at that time, but it went back to that what has been haunting me for 30 years, that somehow I had failed God because I didn't let him have his way when that power first came on me. And it was like he was speaking to my heart, John, you didn't miss anything. It's there. You've seen the evidence all your life. Man, be free. Just walk in that. I was like, wow. And so I got up. And I was like, man, and I think that's what, in hindsight, I think that's what he was doing in my spirit before, was setting me free from all that remorse, all that second guessing, all that doubt, and that, not bitterness, but all that guilt of having somehow failed God and coming up short when he has given me everything and equipped me in every way for all that he's called me to do. And so it's very glorious. And so as we're on the way home, Missy said, you know, would you get up there? She said, I know you wanted Randy Clark to pray for you. Would you get up there? And I said, babe, he told me to stop asking for what I've already given you. And she almost, and we're driving down the highway, 60 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, 65, edit that. She almost falls out the car. No way. She said, that's what he told me too. So it just, it was such a blessing for me and such a confirmation for Missy. And our God is so tender. He's so tender. He knows you inside and out, and he wants to meet you and touch you where you are. And so I want to encourage you. We've been going a long time. We're going to go ahead and break for a meal. But I want to encourage you, seek him and trust him and know that he has something amazing for you. Amen. Praise God. We're going to close with a worship clip. You can stay and watch this, or you can go ahead and have some refreshments. But it goes back to what we were saying. There is nothing like being in a room full of 1,000 people who are absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ, who love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you get 1,000 people with that much passion gathered to worship God, stuff happens. Stuff happens. And it was powerful. But the coolest thing, I'm going to show a little video clip, and Dennis is going to start it. I'll indicate for him to stop it because, I mean, this thing could go for forever. We'll see a few minutes of it. This will give you an idea of what the worship was like there. It's a band called, Nick and Rachel Billman. They minister all over the world in worship. They also help rescue prostitutes from human trafficking. Amazing couple. But I want you to keep an eye out, not only for Missy and Karen, because you'll see them in there. And I think you see Patsy and Dave at some point, too. But anyway, there's this little girl who's on her daddy's shoulders. And she's about, I'm guessing, 6 years old. And when the video starts out, she's just kind of hanging on daddy's shoulders. She's up there, and she's got her hands on her lap. But as the worship starts to go, her dad just starts to sway back and forth. And this little girl, about 6 years old, just starts to move her arms back and forth. And you only catch glimpses of her from time to time. But by the time this thing is in full swing, she is worshiping God with everything in her. And her arms are just waving beautifully. It's like tall grass just waving in the wind. And it's so touching that this girl, who couldn't be more than six or seven, I have seen few adults worship with such grace and unbridled passion for the Lord. So I hope that this blesses you. We'll close with this. Thank you for being patient. If I can pray for you for anything at all, please come up and see me, because I would love to do that. But we'll just close with this and hope that this gives you a sense of the fire and the passion that was there.